He has gone out of his mind, some of the people in the crowd said. They offered that Jesus might be possessed because of the things he had been saying and doing. There is even the mention of demons. Obviously, if someone is possessed by demons, then one could infer that this person is insane or a lunatic. It was at this point that Jesus' family went out to try to restrain him. Now, in the time of Jesus, if one was possessed by demons, then one is being possessed by Satan. But as usual, Jesus had a response to these claims. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. This is truly a paradox, or for Jesus, a parable. The mention of being possessed by demons or Satan brings to mind the history of mental illness, and particularly the history of mental illness in my family. It is a history that most of our family chose not to remember. Chose not to remember the history of suffering. And thereby, we were doomed to repeat the history of that suffering. In the last 3 years, I consciously tried to reestablish a relationship with my oldest sister. I started calling her several times a week. I must say it was challenging because the conversation was very one-sided. I did most of the talking, and she might respond with a yes or a no or say nothing. Now, you might ask, why did I need to reestablish our relationship? In other words, what happened to that relationship you had? Well, those are both great questions for which I don't necessarily have great answers. However, after much conversation with my sister, she helped me piece together the story. When I started high school in our little South Arkansas town, my oldest sister was away at college. I knew she was having problems because my parents brought her home. They took her to see a psychiatrist who diagnosed her with a significant mental health issue, major depression, and severe anxiety. She was sent to a facility in Little Rock where she would receive her treatment. That's the largest town near where we lived. I only know that she was put on medication that she would take for the next 20 years. She also underwent ECT treatments, or actually those are electroconvulsive shock therapy treatments. She was eventually discharged from the facility and returned to college. The next several decades were filled with her getting married and becoming a forensic CPA. She was eventually tapped by the FBI as one of the 10 forensic CPAs to head up the Enron investigation in 2001. So she was a smart woman. However, her mental health issues continued, and they seemed to overflow into a profound depression, which seemed literally to fracture my mother. Now, I had always seen my mother as being indestructible. Some of you may know that her first assignment after graduating from nursing school in 1942 was to be sent to North Africa following the invasion by the Allied and American troops to fight Rommel's forces in the desert. The first day on the base, she was assigned as the charge nurse for the surgical army hospital behind the front lines. Now, if you've ever watched an episode of MASH, which is actually set in the Korean conflict, you'll know that the assessment of the wounded and surgery and attempts to save them, whether friend or foe, all subsequent recovery occurred in a number of large tents. That was the deal, World War II. Three tents out in the middle of the desert. However, unlike MASH, she faced all the horrors of war without much of the humor. In any case, while I was at college, my mother went to a facility in Texas to receive treatment for her depression. My father and younger sister rallied around my mother, but I was torn. However, the party line of our family was that my oldest sister's issues had caused my mother's collapse, my mother's suffering, my mother's fracture. The contention was that my sister's ongoing trials and tribulations with her own mental health issues somehow overwhelmed my mother, sending her into a tailspin of major depression. My oldest sister seemed to drift away from our family, and I have to say, I did nothing to stop that. Oh, we would still see each other at some of the holidays, and there were times after my father died that the rest of the family gathered. However, it was very easy to feel the tension within my family. It was palpable. Eventually, my older sister and I lost touch. She had decided to stop her medication. As she had said, it prevented her from having a life where she could feel what life was all about, with all of its benefits as well as all of its burdens, its joys and its disappointments. She told me one time that the medication she was taking caused everything in her life to be gray. She claimed there was no color to experience in her life. I told her it probably wasn't a good idea to just stop her medication. She very graciously informed me that this was not a conversation. She was just telling me, as she had told her psychiatrist, what she was going to do. In our conversations during the last 3 years of her life, my older sister was eventually willing and able to talk about how she had worked so very hard to make a life for herself after stopping her medication. She talked about her successes and her failures. She shared stories about feeling fractured, about feeling in need of healing. She offered that perhaps her suffering was so intense, so overwhelming, so ugly for our family that everyone chose to look away. Perhaps because if you decide to look away from intense suffering, you can convince yourself that you've already done everything you could do, that somehow it's no longer your responsibility. Because, of course, you've convinced yourself that there's nothing you can do to stem the tide of that suffering. And by doing so, you can only choose to confirm that you are part of a house divided. A house divided against itself. In the past several years, I've learned several important lessons from my sister. Perhaps I should say that my sister has offered me the opportunity to learn several important lessons. In the Louise Penny novel, How the Light Gets In, Penny uses a quote attributed to Leonard Cohen. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Cohen elaborated in a 1990s interview, there is a crack in everything that you can put together. Physical objects, mental objects, constructions of any kind. But that's where the light gets in. And that's where the resurrection is. And that's where the return, that's where the repentance is. It is with the confrontation with the brokenness of things. While I certainly agree with Cohen that everything and everyone is cracked or broken in some way, the point my sister helped me learn is that one must recognize the brokenness. One does not try to hide or learn how to ignore it, understanding that while we are fractured, we do not have something wrong with us that must be fixed. Rather, we are to take notice of those cracks, those fractures, and in doing so, we can allow ourselves to learn how to turn towards the light and follow that light wherever it might lead us. In the same way that a sunflower follows the sun throughout the day. The take-home lesson for me, the healing lesson that my sister learned long ago, the lesson we as a family chose to ignore, was to love the fractured pieces as much as we love the whole. While we can hope for and work toward healing in the context of our fractured nature, we must learn to love our fractured pieces. Further, we must learn to love the fractured pieces of others. And this cannot happen if we choose to look away. Actually, without those fractured pieces, we can never heal. They can never heal. Without those fractured pieces, we can never consider ourselves whole. There's a Japanese technique of repairing broken pottery with gold or silver lacquer. It's called kintsugi. The understanding behind this practice is that the fractured piece has a history, a story. And that history is more beautiful and more meaningful for having been broken. My older sister was a beautiful person, beautiful in all her brokenness. I'm glad that she allowed me to see into that brokenness. I'm glad that I can no longer look away. Oh, my older sister, her name is Ethel. She was truly a sunflower facing the light, coming through all the cracks. She is my family. She is my hero. Amen.